Good evening. Well, as I was preparing for this evening, had some different thoughts rolling around in my head. So as I was looking through the scriptures, looking at different passages, I found some similarities and some contrasts that kind of stood out to me between King Saul and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to share some of what I found with you tonight. This is not an exhaustive study of the life of Saul or of Jesus, so don't get your hopes up. I have a lot of scripture. I'll be starting with looking at the appearances of King Saul and Christ, their physical appearances. Since I have so many references, I'm going to have my lovely assistant putting them on the wall behind us, so you won't have to feel frustrated trying to keep up with me in your Bibles. First, we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. So here we find Saul, before he was king, when Samuel was about to go out and look for him. He was a tall, handsome, good-looking man, big guy, looked like a king. He had that appearance about him. He could have even looked strong and powerful. He was that kind of a person. The contrast, which I found in Isaiah, prophecy of our Lord Jesus, Isaiah 53:2, for he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. So here we find Christ, as he was young, has a humble appearance, looked like an ordinary man. There wasn't any form or majesty about him. The King of Kings, the most powerful man that ever walked on the earth, and his appearance is a humble, normal appearance. Next, I'd like to look at the reverence between Christ and King Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 1, we read, "Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head, and kissed him and said, 'Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his people Israel? And you shall reign over the people of the Lord, and you will save them from the hand of their surrounding enemies. And this shall be the sign to you that the Lord has anointed you to be prince over his heritage.'" Here we see a formal ceremony where the prophet Samuel goes and anoints the first king of Israel, and he anoints his head in the customary fashion and speaks words to him, you know, commemorating the occasion, if you will. It was a respected occasion, and that's what was given to this earthly king. In contrast, we find in Luke 7, chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, "And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment." And in verse 46, Jesus says, "You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment." So here we see the exact opposite of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was no common courtesy given to him. He was not anointed in a formal fashion, the ceremony. He wasn't anointed except for on his feet with the tears of this woman who was so grateful for him. Next, I'd like to look at their obedience. In 1 Samuel 15, verses 13 and 14, we read, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, 'Blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.' And Samuel said, 'What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear?' And in verse 22, Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams.' And in verse 27 and 28, 'As Samuel turned to go away, Saul seized the skirt of his robe, and it tore. And Samuel said to him, 'The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day, and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you.'" And here we see King Saul's lack of obedience, where he had partially obeyed a command of the Lord. When the Lord told him to go and wipe out this people, he wiped out most of them and kept some for himself, and then claimed to have obeyed, and Samuel called him out and said, "You didn't do this." And this partial obedience was unfavorable in God's eyes, and God, through Samuel, prophesied consequences for his disobedience. In contrary, we look at John chapter 4 and verse 34. Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." Matthew 17, verse 5. He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." In John 13, 3-5, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. When he had poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Here we see Christ's pure obedience. I think of the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane where Christ prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." I don't know how much more obedient you can get than that. And then this King of Kings, who had all things given into his hands, turns and acts as a servant toward his followers, washing their feet, taking the lowest position, even though he held the highest. Pure obedience. Next, I'd like to look at their endurance. In 1 Samuel 28, verse 17 through 20, "The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me." This is Samuel speaking from beyond the grave to Saul in this passage. "The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons shall be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines." Then Saul fell at once full length on the ground, filled with fear because of the words of Samuel, and there was no strength left in him, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. Here we see an earthly king, a human being, not in a lot of endurance there. He missed his meals one day and heard some bad news, and all of a sudden he's out of strength. He's in weakness, lying on the floor, this big, great, powerful king of Israel. He heard the prophecy reminded that he was given years ago, that you're losing your kingdom and that he's going to be killed by the Philistines. And he crumples to the floor in weakness. In Luke 4, verses 1 and 2, we find the opposite. "And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days, and when they were ended, he was hungry." I bet. It's a long time to eat nothing. But here we see the complete opposite, where 40 days with no food, and yet he was able to endure, and he was able to withstand and actively resist temptation straight from the devil himself. I don't want to imagine what that must have been like, to resist temptation directly from the devil himself. But he endured. He was able to last and actively resist the temptation. And lastly, I'd like to look quickly at the inheritance. 1 Samuel 13 and verse 1 begins, "Saul was 30 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 42 years over Israel." And then in 1 Samuel 31 and verse 4, we find, "Then Saul said to his armor bearer, 'Draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and mistreat me.' But his armor bearer would not, for he feared greatly. Therefore Saul took his own sword and fell upon it." So here we see this mighty king, this first king of Israel, this big, powerful man. He He started to reign around 30 years old. He reigned for a long time. And he died. Next we see in Luke 3 and verse 23, Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son of Joseph, the son of Heli. Hebrews 1:8, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. And in Revelation 11:15, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. What a difference. Here we have this earthly king started his reign about 30 years of age. Coincidentally, Christ started his earthly ministry around 30 years of age. But what a difference in the end. Saul's came to an end. He died, just like all of us are going to. Christ conquered death, and he reigns forever. He continues to reign now, and he will always continue to reign. His kingdom will never end. I'm so glad that we serve a risen Savior instead of just some strong man. Human leaders rise and human leaders fall, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just closing with a verse that seems to sum it up for me, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look at your word this evening, Lord. We thank you for the truths that we find in it, Lord. We just pray that you continue to reveal yourself more and show us more about you and your character and your through your word to us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity we've had to come before you this evening with our prayers and our supplications, Lord. And we just ask that you would be with us as we leave here. Help us to continue to serve you. In Jesus' name.